So we just love you. We're glad you're at church today. We're excited about this series. But yes, this is the rise and fall of Saul, and we're really excited about this. And when we were really praying about what the Lord had for us for the summer, sometimes we do a book study with our leadership, but this year we were like, what do we want to do? You know, what do we want to really dive into? And the Lord just kept bringing back emotional health. And you guys know, this is something that we live at this church because we believe so much of who we are and what we do and our progress. It is depicted upon our emotional health. So a lot of what we do is emotional health. So we thought it was very interesting that the Lord kept bringing this back around to us. And when I was praying, even just recently, and even this morning in team rally, I just felt like the Lord was saying, I'm building layers of a foundation. Layers of a foundation so that when the winds and the waves of life come in, that my people are strong and that they're steadfast and they're immovable and they're always abounding in the work of the Lord. And so I really feel like over the next several weeks that we're going to dive deep into this study. We really love the character of Saul because there's so much there. God called him, but yet he was so sinful. And so we really have this, this continuation of from our small group to what we're going to learn on Sunday mornings. And then even each one of us, as we dive deeper into what God has for us in the Word of God, I really do feel like we're going to see things that took us years and years and years and years and years, and we feel like we're still struggling. The Lord is saying, in the next 6 weeks, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to heal you because you're appropriating what you're learning and the Word of God to your soul. And I think he's just going to continuously heal and heal and heal. And I really do feel like that over the next several weeks. That's why it is not a surprise to me that Richie and I got sick. Because do you know how easy this last night I said to him, babe, what if I can't do it? He goes, well, it's going to stink, but you can. And he was so right. This morning I woke up and I was like, come hell or high water, I don't care if I have to be propped up there, I'm going to do it. And I think it's just that determination that I am not giving in to the enemy anymore. And even if it's physical sickness, I'm going to stand and declare God is still good and he's still faithful no matter what my circumstance looks like. So I'm really excited about this. I'm really excited we get to dive right into it. But it is the rise and fall of Saul, the emotionally unhealthy journey. And so today when we were praying about this, I really felt like I wanted to start backwards a little bit. So I just wanted to give a prequel to our rise and fall of Saul and kind of the prequel as to how did the Israelites get in this situation in the first place. So I really want to highlight three different scenarios. And I want to start off by reading the word, and I am going to read the entire chapter, so bear with me, but I really do feel like we're going to have to go a little deeper this summer. We got to go a little deeper. So we got to get our thinking caps on a little bit. We're not in school right now, but we need to be in school right now. So let's start with 1 Samuel chapter 8, and we're going to start reading in verse 1. And it says, as Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons to be judges over Israel, Joel and Abijah. His oldest sons held court in Beersheba. But they were not like their father, for they were greedy for money. They accepted bribes and perverted justice. Finally, all the elders of Israel met at Ramah to discuss the matter to Samuel. Look, they told him, you are now old and your sons are not like you. Give us a king to judge us, highlight this, like all the other nations have. Samuel was displeased with their request and went to the Lord for guidance. Do everything they tell you, the Lord replied, for they have rejected me and not you. Listen to that. For they have rejected me and not you. They don't want me to be their king any longer. Ever since I brought them from Egypt, they have continuously abandoned me and followed other gods. And now they are giving you the same treatment. Do as they ask, but solemnly warn them about the way a king will reign over them. So Samuel passed on the Lord's warning to the people who were asking for a king. This is how a king will reign over you, Samuel said. The king will draft your sons and assign them to chariots and charioteers, making them run before his chariots. Some will be generals and captains in his army. Some will be forced to plow in his fields and harvest his crops. And some will make his weapons and chariot equipment. The king will take your daughters from you and force them to cook and bake and make perfumes for him. He will take away the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves and give them to his own officials. He will take a tenth of your grain and your grape harvest and distribute it among his officials and attendants. He will take your male and female slaves and demand the finest of your cattle and the donkeys for his own use. What a warning. At that point in time, I would have been like, just kidding. But let's keep reading. Here we go, verse 17. This is where we finish. He will demand a tenth of your flocks, and you will be his slaves. When that day comes, you will beg for relief from this king you are demanding. But the Lord will not help you. But the people refuse to listen to Samuel's warning. Even so, we still want a king, they said. We want to be like the other nations around us. Church, we want to be like the other nations around us. Our king will judge us and lead us into battle. So Samuel repeated to the Lord what the people had said, and the Lord replied, "Do as they say, and give them a king." And Samuel agreed and sent the people home. That's a lot. Could you imagine if we were in a political debate here? We have got five candidates up here, and this one is going to da, 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 da. We'd be like, we're not picking that guy. Give us somebody else, right? But that is not what happened. It said they wanted to be like everybody else. I want to talk to the people of God today who have asked God for something that was not his best for you. That's what I want to talk to. I want to talk to the people of God today that have prayed about something and said, "Lord, I know that this isn't your best for me, but I still want it." That's who I want to talk to today. Because if we're truthful, there's a little bit of this in all of us. Because we all have this underlying thought process that I know best, God, what I need. And the Lord is so gracious, and he's so gentle, and he's so kind. But there are some times when he turns us over to our own devices. And we have to live with the consequences of our choices. And I want to talk to us today, because I believe there's three scenarios inside here that we can all look at, and we can say, "Okay, Lord, if the Israelites did it like this, help me not to do it like that anymore in my life." That's what I want to talk about today. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word has gone forth. God, I pray that you would strengthen my mind right now as I speak. God, I pray for the hearing of this word today. Lord, let us never leave your house unchanged. God, I thank you that your spirit is drawing us, and even now that you're coming for us, Lord, and I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you that you are never going to leave us the same, that you're always going to require more because you require your best of us, God, and I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's just recap for a quick second. So this nation was free, okay? Israel was a free nation. And what the Lord had done is he had set up God as king. I'm king over Israel. And he appointed judges to rule over the day-to-day affairs, okay? So imagine this, a free nation saying, "I would rather have a communist dictatorship." That's what, like, this is happening here, okay? So this is what's happening. And some of you are like, "Oh, I see what's happening in our nation." Yes, okay, correct. This is why we got to have spiritual ears to hear what the word of God is saying, because I think he gives us warning on stuff. But we're so lolly-lolly about stuff and like tiptoe through the tulips that we forget that the Bible is still very relevant and the word of God is still very much for today. And we have to appropriate what's happening there and say, "Okay, Lord, if they made this decision and they made this choice and it wound them in bondage, how can we as your people speak truth in this season?" No matter what the outcome is, we still have a responsibility as the word of God and the people of God to speak truth in love. Always. Don't ever bow down to the world because we're afraid of the outcome. Don't ever bow down to the world because we're afraid of the outcome. Don't ever give in to a relationship because you're afraid it might hurt somebody's feelings. Don't ever stop speaking the truth because you're worried about the outcome. Speak the truth in love. There's three scenarios, so I want to talk about the first one in this situation. The first is every generation has a responsibility to the preceding generation. Every generation has a responsibility to the preceding generation, those coming behind you. There are parents, grandparents, leaders in this room right now who God has placed a mantle on you of leadership for a reason. He's given you the kids he's given you, the grandkids he's given you, and he's put them in your care for a reason. And as men and women of God, we have a responsibility in that. That means that I don't get to raise my kids like the world raises their kids. That means I have to say no to things that everybody else is saying yes to. That means my kids don't get to participate in stuff that other kids get to participate in, not because it's not good, but it's not for us, baby. It's not for us. Because not only are we breaking off generational curses, but we're teaching them to stand up for what they believe. And you can be different and still be anointed. Right? So that's what we're teaching them in this season. But it says Samuel's sons weren't like him, that they were greedy and that they were perverting justice and that they weren't doing things right. And whenever evil has a leadership role, it makes its way into a place where we create unhealthy patterns. And what happened is the more and more Israel looked like the world, the more they created this vacuum for godly leadership. Looks a lot like our nation today, if I'm being truthful. The more and more we move away from biblical principles, the bigger the vacuum for the unhealthy and the evil to come in. And we have a responsibility, church, that even though the world may do it one way, it doesn't mean that we do it that way. We don't let the world infiltrate us. We don't let the world and their pattern and the evil, we don't let that depict what we do and what we don't do. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's our motto. That's where we stand. So we don't want to open ourselves up to the unhealthy in that. We want to make sure that we're leading in a godly way so that the healthy things of God and the things that we should be participating in, that those are the things that we stand on. And so in this situation, we see that there was a vacuum there. Now, here's what I love about the Lord. This is what I love about the Lord. He says to Samuel, "Don't worry. This isn't about you. They're rejecting me." I love that. Parents, I got to be honest with you in here. You can do everything you can to raise your kids in the fear and the admonition of Christ. You can read them Bible verses. You can sing over them. You can provide a loving environment. Your kids' choices are their choices. There are parents in here that will tell you that. There are good, godly parents that I know that raised their kids to love Jesus and to serve him, and their children grew up and did not make that choice. Parents, this is why you have to have a keen ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, because that moment when he says, "Mama, this isn't about you and them, this is about me and them." You got to hear that, because it allows you to back out of the way and say, "Okay, Lord, you do what you do." Because he has a way of grabbing their hearts better than you do. And so the moment that you try to assert your control and you try to assert, "No, you will love the Lord," if you you act like that, your children are going to run the opposite way. The more you send them Bible verses and scriptures and you bombard them with the anointing of God and you lay hands on them when they're sleeping and you slap oil on them and you, I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, but I'm saying when they're adults, this is between them and God. You have to allow them to be pursued by their Heavenly Father. You have to. And if you have a relationship with your kids now and you expect that one day you're going to have a relationship with your kids, it's not going to be because you Bible beat them. It's not. And this is completely the opposite of what other people would want to tell you. But I'm telling you because Rich and I have been in youth ministry more than we've been in this situation. And the parents that browbeat their kids and that did everything that they could, like, you will be in church and you'll get up at 5:30 in the morning and prayer walk 7 times around the house. And you know what I mean? Parents, if you do that to your kids, I'm telling you, you're going to turn them away from Jesus. You know why? Because right now, God has placed them in your care for you to love them. And it doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. It doesn't matter how far their hearts stray. Your responsibility is to love them because that's what he did with you. He chased your heart when you were rotten and you know it. Because he did it with me. He chased my heart when I was rotten and when I was insecure and when I was ugly inside. But it wasn't because my mom said, you're going to be in church every single Sunday. It wasn't. It was because she let me have a relationship with Jesus that looked different than her relationship with Jesus. It was because when I felt like, Mom, I'm supposed to do this, she was like, okay, if the Lord is leading you to do that, then do it. Parents, we have to have that relationship with our kids, that we love them enough so that they can see Jesus through us. And we have to stop trying to be the Holy Spirit for our kids. We got to stop because he is really great at that job. He does not need us, right? The only thing he needs us to do is sit really close to him so that when he tells us to do something that we can be obedient to that. And when he says, I need you to walk away so that I can do what I got to do, we can walk away. And that's a hard place. That's a hard place for parents to be at. There are sometimes when my kids will say something and I'm like, in my mind, I swallow it down because I know, but I want to say, like, I did not raise you to read the word of God like that. You know what I mean? Like, I can't believe they interpreted the scriptures that way, you know? So there's that time where we're just going to have to say, okay, interesting. I'd love to hear your perspective on that. What happens if your kids come to you and say, I don't even know if the Bible's real? What do we do? Jonah and the whale? Mom, sounds like a big, fat whale tail. Sounds like a story to me. What are we going to do? Are we going to sit down and we're going to exegete the scriptures right now? Or are we going to say, that's interesting perspective. How can I pray with you about that? See, we got to have this normal relationship with our kids and stop acting like we are the ones that are going to bring them to Christ. We don't. We can't. We can't. It is the Spirit of God that draws them in. So our responsibility is to do what God has called us to do. So love your kids exactly like that. But I love this because if can you imagine if Samuel hadn't have heard this from God, he may have beat himself up. He may have said, man, I'm terrible at this. He may have walked away. But because he was sitting with the Lord and because he'd heard the Lord's voice, the Lord was able to say, this is between me and them. Man, parents, let's get to the point where we can say, okay, Lord, I get it. I've done all I can do. This is about you chasing their heart now. Now I'm just going to pray for them to hear you clearly. That's it. Let's get there. Let's get there. The second point is this: rejecting God will always place you in bondage of some kind. Always place you in bondage of some kind. This sounds like a duh moment, right? When I first saw this and read that, I was like, well, duh, that's of course. But Israel wanted a king like every other nation. Give us a king so we can be like everyone else. That's what they said. But this nation was free, and they wanted to be in bondage, even though they were warned. You know why? Because subtly and inside of ourselves, we really do believe it's not going to end up like that. It's not going to be that bad, right? Like, I mean, yeah, so I might have to pay some extra taxes. It's not that bad, right? They had no idea of what Saul was going to do, even after the warning. And I think about that in my own life, and how many times have I been in a situation, and how many times have I put myself in bondage because I wanted something that I wanted. And then once that situation is over with, not only did the Lord have to heal my heart, but now he's got to touch on insecurities that weren't there before. They weren't there before. When I was in high school, I'm going to tell you guys a little secret. Rich, close your ears. When I was in high, so sometimes the girls will be driving in the car and the girls say, "Mom, tell us a story about one of your yucky boyfriends." And so I always think that's funny because anybody that's not daddy is yucky, right? So even though these guys were great, but anyway, in this situation, tell us a story about one of your yucky boyfriends. So I start telling them the story about one of the guys that I dated. And so what was so interesting to me is I'm listening to myself tell this story to my girls, and I'm thinking, who in their right mind would get into a situation like this, Misty Lynn? I cannot even believe. Like, I'm scolding my own self telling them this story. And so what happened was, this was a very close friend of the family. We all grew up together. We had lots of, you know, our church was very close-knit growing up, so we had great friends, and these people were great. This family was wonderful. And so I had liked this guy since I was a little girl and all the way up. And anyway, it ended up being that I really wanted to date their son, like really wanted to date their son. And so I was praying about it and fasting about it and begging the Lord for it and laying at the altar like, "Lord, if you just knew my heart about this person, you know, he's so wonderful and everything's going to be perfect and we're going to end up getting married." I was in high school. "And we're going to end up getting married and it's going to be perfect and wonderful and everything is going to be great." And I begged and begged and begged and begged for like 3 years. Ridiculous. Ridiculousness. Richie's like, "I'm annoyed already." Just pray through it, baby. So anyway, it ended up being that we started dating. And here's what happened. He started making comments about other people's weight. Okay? Other people's weight. Which in my mind was, well, if that's bad, then the opposite of that has to be good. Right? So here goes the enemy start to play on my insecurities, okay? Now, all of a sudden, things that weren't an issue for me now all of a sudden are a care and a concern of mine, right? And then it was little comments about other things, like compromise, little compromise things here and there. And I'm thinking, all right, so if this is this, then that is that. You know, you try to rationalize sin in your mind. Right? So what happens is, little by little by little, I start compromising. I start losing a ton of weight. I become a shell of the person that I was. My family is like, "Misty, what is wrong with you?" And I'm like, "I'm so happy. I'm like skinny, can't eat, starving." You know what I'm saying? I thought I was like so happy. But it was because I had shackled myself and put myself in bondage to someone's opinion instead of recognizing, wait a second, this is an unhealthy pattern in my life. Because I wasn't comfortable enough in who I was called to be, and because I wasn't okay enough with who God had called me to be, that all of a sudden you come into an agreement with somebody else's opinion, and you become all of a sudden what they want you to be instead of what God wants you to be. And so once that relationship ended, and God is so good, because he did end it in a weird way, but it ended. And once that relationship ended, here's what was so crazy to me, that I had to go to the Lord and I had to say, "I'm sorry, and I messed up. And now I have this yucky feeling inside of me that I'm not enough and that I'll never be good enough. And I know that that's not from you, but I don't know how to make it go away." And it was amazing to me, because the only thing that I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me in that moment was, "Misty, I love you." Man, in my most broken, most vulnerable time, he speaks to my heart and says, "I just love you. I don't care about any of that other stuff. let's just go there first. Isn't that so great about God? Is those moments when we feel so rejected, so neglected, and so worthless that he speaks right. He doesn't bypass go or collect $200. He goes right for the heart of it and says, I love you above everything else. And all this stuff, I'm going to work it out. I'm going to get in it with you, and we're going to work through this together. But the very foundation that I need you to know, Misty, if we're going to get up from this altar, and I appreciate you apologizing, I appreciate you saying I'm sorry, but when we get up from here, it's me and you. Man, that moment changed my life, and I never, ever said yes to another relationship that was not of God. You want to know why? Because he had done such a good job of rescuing my heart. Parents, let God rescue their heart. And they're going to walk through heartache, and they're going to say yes to relationships, and they're going to do crazy stuff. But let the Lord rescue your kid's heart. If you're single and you're in this room today, let God rescue your heart, because there's some work you got to do. But he is so faithful to tell you over and over again just how much he loves you. That's the most important thing for you to remember, is how much he loves you. The third thing is this, that red flags are always available. They are always available and always visible. They are always visible. Through either a visible sign or the prompting of the Holy Spirit, those red flags are always, always seen. The problem is we avoid the red flags because we rationalize, just like the nation of Israel did. The Lord said he's going to do all of these things. All of this is going to happen. But yet you put yourself in that compromising position, and now I have to rescue you from bondage. Now I've got to heal you, and then we can start moving forward. But it all happened because they said yes to an unholy alliance, and they completely avoided the red flags. Are there red flags in your life right now that you are seeing? Are there situations that you're in right now and you're like, I've always seen that, but I didn't know how to address it? Let's just address it. Let's just be the people of God that say, I see a red flag and I'm going to say something about it. Let's not be the people that are like, well, let's see if it gets better. It won't get better. I promise you, it's not going to get better. If you're in a dating relationship and you see something, say something. See something, say something. Because what's going to happen is, and Richie talks about this often, what happens is the fear of man brings a snare. And so if you don't say something about it, what you're doing is you're locking up your own emotions. Okay? And so what happens is when we lock up our emotions, we start to get into a pattern where we do not feel fully what we're supposed to feel. That means anger is emotion that God put inside of you for a reason. It's not scary. It's an emotion he gave to you. Jesus was angry. In his anger, he didn't sin, but he was angry. You can have an angry feeling. You can be upset. You can say something about that anger because obviously something is triggering the inside of you. And what we're not going to do, church, over the next several weeks is we're not going to walk through a pattern of denying our emotions. Because when you deny your emotions, you become only a part of who God has called you to be. He uses everything in your life for a reason, everything. And so those emotions that he's given you for a reason. If you feel strongly about something, communicate what you feel. Don't be the people that are a doormat. I'm just going to take it. No, don't take it. God gave you that emotion for a reason. If you need help working through, I do this with my mom and I do this with Richie a lot. I dialogue. I talk about how I'm feeling. I work through it. Hey, I feel like I need to confront someone. Can I dialogue with you about that? Can I practice my angry conversation with you? You want to know why? Because in my anger, I don't want to say something that I'm going to regret. Sometimes I just got to sit with the Lord and I have to journal. There are days when I journal for hours in the morning with the Lord because there's so much inside of me and I can't lock in on, Lord, why am I feeling all of this inside of me right now? But we can't deny who God has called us to be. And you can't deny who God has called you to be. Because if you do that, then what you do is you shackle yourself and you say, okay, well, whatever happens to me, and your opinion matters more than what my opinion is and what God's opinion is to me. And then all of a sudden we become people pleasers. And so we're running around trying to make sure everybody else is happy. And on the inside, you're dying. And God has not called you to live like that. He's called you to live in such a way that you exemplify the full nature of who he's called you to be. Because we're practicing here to reign until we reign in heaven. And that's the whole point, is that one day we are going to rule and reign. And we have to be able to do that in a healthy way here on earth and work out those kinks here on earth so that when we are in heaven, that we're reigning in a healthy way. Lord, help me, Jesus. Band, if you would come. Let's stand. I want to read this verse while the band is getting ready to play. And it says this, Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. The transformation comes when he changes our thinking, when we allow him to change our thinking. Over the next several weeks, there are some of you that the Lord is going to challenge the way that you've previously thought. And it's not necessarily because he wants to pick a fight with you. It's because he's trying to unravel some unhealthy patterns inside of you so that the Holy Spirit can do the work inside of you that he needs to do so that you can be the best that he's called you to be. You have to trust him, though, that he has your best interest at hand and that we don't walk in that pattern of, did the Lord really say? Like, does the Lord, we learn to hear his voice so clearly and that we understand when the Spirit of God is saying, hey, I have something more for you, but it's going to require you denying that thing. That we are in such a comfortable place with the Lord that we can say, Lord, I know if you're telling me no right now, that it's for my good, and I trust you in that. Do we have that? Are we at that place? We know that the nation of Israel was not. And that attitude, that prevailing attitude, opened the door for them to be led by a man who was so unhealthy. So unhealthy. And I think the Spirit of God is calling this church over the next several weeks to step out into a new season. Richie and I were praying this the other day, and we just felt like the Lord said, level up. We're about to level up. And what that means, church, is that the layers here need to be right without a crack in the foundation before we go up to the next level. Because with the next level comes more pressure. More pressure. And so some of you, over the next several weeks, you're going to feel uncomfortable in your emotions. And the reason being is because the Lord's saying, these emotions have been running amok in your life over the last several weeks, over the last years of your life. And I'm here to tell you that this is no more. We are not walking through that anymore. And the Lord is saying, over the next several weeks, he is going to heal your heart. And he is going to heal your emotions, and that those things from your past and those things that have tried to hook onto you and define who you are, the Lord is saying that is not who you are anymore. And that I'm going to start calling you to a new place of just anointing. I'm going to call you to a new place in me where you are going to deny the things of this world, the things of the flesh that held you, you're going to deny them. And you're going to deny them to a greater degree. The emotional turmoil that you felt over your life, the Lord's saying, I'm healing you. Even right now, I'm healing you of that. I'm healing you of that. There are some of you that have been walking in financial distress. It's because of decisions you've made over and over again. And the Lord's saying, if you just trust me and live like nobody else, in the next season, you're going to live like nobody else. Come on, church. God's got a huge plan for this church. He's called us to greater. And with greater means, we have to have a greater understanding of his presence and of his anointing, so that when he speaks, that we don't deny his voice because we're like, did you say? No, he said. And we're going to be obedient to that, church. We're going to be obedient to that. The last half of that verse says, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. There are some of us in here that do not believe that God has a good, a pleasing, and a perfect will, because up to this point, we felt heartache, shame, fear. And the Lord is saying, I have a good, a pleasing, and a perfect will for your life. And if you just trust me, it's better than you ever could imagine. It's better than you ever could imagine. There are some of you in this room right now. There are some of you in this room right now that the Lord, over the next 6 weeks, I'm telling you, I don't know why, but I just feel it so strongly. You are going to get checks in the mail that you had no idea where they were coming from. And God's saying, it's because I'm going to take care of your physical needs, because you're taking care of my house, and because you're letting me do inside of you what I've called you. I've always called you to do it. And because of that, I'm going to meet you exactly where you are. And I'm going to erase the things from your past that have shackled you and caused you to be less than who I've called you to be. Church, I feel it so strongly in here today that God is going to heal you. He's going to heal you. And part of that means he's got to heal your mind. There are some of you that have been abandoned by people that were supposed to love you. And God's saying, I have never left you. I have never walked away from you. I have always been your father. Rest in that. Trust in that. Your earthly parents may not have been what they needed to be, but God's saying, in me, you have all that you need. All that you need. Trust him. Trust him. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. God, I thank you for your presence that's in this house. God, I thank you that you've called us to greater. Lord, I pray that we would not settle for less than your best. God, and that over the next several weeks, I thank you right now, even in advance, we praise you and we thank you, God, for the things that you're going to do in this place. We thank you for the people's lives that are going to be changed. And I thank you, God, that because you've changed us, Lord, that because you've changed the inside of us, God, Lord, that the people around us are going to get saved. God, I thank you that children that were lost are coming home. God, I thank you that children that are wayward, Father God, are coming back to you, Father. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would wake them up and shake them up, Father God, from their apathy. And that, Lord, that they would run to you, Father God. I pray that the things of this world that draw them in, God, that you're going to cut it off. You're going to sever it off, Father God. I pray that as a people of God, Lord, that we're going to serve you faithfully and we're going to be diligent about what you've called us to do. God, I pray the things that we need to deny in our life, God, that we would deny them. And Lord, that when you say wait, I thank you that we're going to praise you for the wait. I thank you that we're going to praise you for the no, God, because you see the beginning and the end, Lord. I pray that we would get to that place in our relationship with you, that we trust you so fully, Father God, that no matter what you say to us, yes, no, or wait, God, that we know that you love us so much. We know that you love us so much, God, that we praise you. Even in a no, God, we praise you. I thank you for that. Lord, I pray for marriages right now, God. Marriages that are on the rocks. Marriages that are not solid, Father God. I pray over the next several weeks, Holy Spirit, that you would speak so clearly to those couples, God. Lord, I pray that you would give them wisdom and direction and insight. God, I pray that you show them that their latter days are going to be greater than their former days as a couple, God. And I thank you that people who had no idea that they were going to be called into ministry, God, that you're going to call them into ministry, God. I thank you for that. I see it, Lord. I thank you that as you're expanding us inside, Father God, that you're also expanding our territory, Lord. And God, we just thank you even now, Lord, as a body. Father, the next location that you've called us to, we're going to pray it out right now in Jesus' name. Lord, that wherever you called us, God, it's not going to be a small footprint. Father, you're going to put us in a place where we can make a big impact for the kingdom of God. And Lord, I just thank you, Holy Spirit, for even now, Lord, whatever location you've called us to, whatever place you've commissioned for us, Father God, that your angels would sit on that building, God. And Lord, I pray even now that the Holy Spirit, Lord, would flow out into the streets, would flow out into the neighboring businesses. I thank you that as we move in, Father God, the anointing goes with us, God, and that the locations around it, Father God, are going to be blessed. Lord, I thank you for that, God. I thank you for your anointing because we carry your presence with us, God. We carry your presence with us. So I thank you for this opportunity, God. I thank you that you've created inside of us, inside this community, that you've created an opportunity, Lord, for us to make an impact for the kingdom of God that does not last just a few years and then fizzles out. God, we thank you for years and years and years of growth. We thank you for generations of people coming to know you, Father God. Lord, I pray that we would not take this responsibility lightly, but I thank you that as a result of the things that are done over the next 6 weeks, God, that entire households are going to be saved. Yes. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Jesus.